Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Hey. We begin on the second line from the top of Lamed Hey and Aleph with the two dots. Now, we're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Sam Michaels and also Le'ili Nishmas Felice Janet Frucht, Freda Yecht Bas Yisrael. All the Shalom should learn for Shadar Leave from our learning. Okay, we quote the Mishnah at the two dots where it says Nimnu Milahash Bia. The original din is, as we discussed towards the end of yesterday's share, that anybody trying to collect from Yisomim, if you're collecting from orphans, they don't know their father's business, and therefore they need to make a shvua, anybody trying to collect from them. This included, we said, even the Amana, a Grusha, a Bali Chov, so they have to make a shvua. But because of the Maisim that we're going to see today, so the rabbis instituted that the Amana could no longer make a shvua to collect the Ksuba from the estate that the Yisomim are now inheriting. So the Gemara asks, why not? My Taima, what's the reason? So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me, Ilema, maybe it's Mishum the Rav Kahana, because of what happened to Rav Kahana. What happened? The Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, others say it wasn't Rav Kahana, Amilei, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, it was Yehuda, Amar Rav. Once it was a Maisa Shaya, Maisa, B'Odemecha B'Shnei Batzores, there once was a man who, during years of famine, deposited a certain coin with a woman who Nebuchadnezzar was very poor. Shehivkid Dinar Zohav Eid Salamona, he deposited this golden dinar by an Amana. An Amana is a widow. And v'hinachto b'chad shokamach. And she placed it for safekeeping in her jug containing flour, but then she forgot about it. And then she baked with it. So she poured all the flour, including the coin, unrealizing that the coin was now baked into this challah, whatever dough she was baking, v'afo also b'pasin. She made it into bread. And she didn't realize where the coin was. Meanwhile, it was a year of famine, and this widow was a very nice lady, and she gave this bread that she baked, unesonatu le'oni. She gave it to a very poor person, and she doesn't know who the poorest person is, but she can't get that coin back. She doesn't even know the coin is there. A couple of days later, li'omim, sometime later on, ba bal hadino, the one who deposited that golden dino with her, came back to get it. The amalo, and he said to the widow, to the amana, hovli dinari, please give me back my dinar. Now, she owed him the money. She wasn't denying that she owed him the money. She wasn't denying the deposit. However, she wanted to accent upon the fact that she did not usurp this coin. She didn't take this coin. So she said, Armalay, she said to this person, listen, I don't know where your coin is, but I guarantee you, Yahane Sam Hamoves Biecha Mi Bonel Shal Osa Isha Im Nenesi Mi Dinorcha Klum. She wanted to stress that she in no way took this coin, and she was an Erlich lady, and she, the farthest thing from her mind was that she would have usurped this coin. So she made this shvua, and she said that one of my children should benefit from the Sam HaMavis. In other words, one of my children should die from eating poison if I, in fact, had any hanah from this dinar, this golden dinar that you had deposited with me. And Nebuch, what happened? Amru, they said, lo ha'yoyomim mu'atim, it wasn't, didn't take very long. It was a couple of days. Ad shemes echem ibanel, until one of her children, Nebuch, died. Now, that would seem to imply that she did, in fact, get benefit from the dinar because one of her children died. She swore that if I benefited at all from this dinar, one of my children died. Then one of her children died suddenly. So it looked, chas v'shalom, that she, in fact, had benefited from this coin. But she didn't benefit. The world will ask that in a second. So in any event, when the rabbis heard the entire story, that's when they were masakin. Amru, ma mi shenishba bi emes kach, hanishba shal shek, alachas v'kama kama. This woman, she ideally swore over here correctly. She really did not get any benefit from this, although the Gemara will discuss in a moment what possible benefit she might have gotten. So therefore, if it's so severe if a person somehow in some way transgresses a shul when they didn't really do anything wrong, they were swearing what they thought was accurately. So Allah has come and come if a person were to swear falsely. And here we'll see that the rabbis were concerned that an Amana, specifically an Amana, may assume that she was entitled to certain things, taking care of her husband's children, taking care of the estate, doing certain things. So she may swear that she never got any hanah from the estate when she comes to collect her ksuba, that none of her ksuba was paid back. And in fact, some of it might have been, and therefore this could lead to this terrible takola, like happened to this almana in our story. And therefore, the rabbis were masakin in this situation that no more would they allow an amana to swear to go collect her ksuba. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel Zalka came along and said, but we want them to be able to collect ksuba, so instituted making a neder instead of swearing, because as we pointed out yesterday, we'll see again today, the consequences of breaking a neder are less severe than the consequences of breaking a shvua. In any event, the Gemara asks, Anishba, Halshekra, Alachas Kama, what did this lady do? My taima iansha. What did this lady do? She, in fact, did nothing wrong. So the Gemara says, no, she did. The Ishtar Shela Mokom Dinar. When she baked this bread, so let's say the bread normally has a pound of flour in it. So here it didn't have a pound of flour. It only had 15 ounces of flour in it because the other pound, the other ounce in the pound was from this Dinar Shozov. So she theoretically was going to give this person a present that was a bread that had a pound of flour in it, so she actually gave less than that. If she were to sell it, for example, she would have been marviach, the amount that the flour was displaced by the golden dinar. And therefore, that's what the Chacham was saying. Uma mi shenishba b'emes, she swore, in fact, in her mind, truthfully, albeit she did get hanah from it, and yet look what happened. So she was like somebody who swore in truth, and yet she got punished. So how much more so if somebody really did get benefit, how much more so they would be punished? Rachmana Lutzlan. Now, Gemara asked, in this situation, if this is what you're telling me, that the rabbis stopped the shvuah based upon this story, so my area almana, I feel a grushinami. Why did they only institute that an almana shouldn't go and swear, but they would allow a grusha to still go and swear? Isn't the same concern there? So, why did Rebbe Zeira say in Shmuel that this is a very specific din? Nimnu mila hashbia is only for an almana. Lo shenu el almana. Av grusha mashbino. So, they would still let a grusha swear to go collect the ksuba. They only wouldn't allow an almana. Why should there be a difference between almana and grusha? So, I already alluded to this before when I said almana is shiny. The Gemara tells us that an almana is different because the Baha'i Hanah, the Kartorcha Kameh Diasmi, she's taking care of the estate, and taking care of the estate in also involves taking care of her husband's children. A lot back when they were her children, so the husband had another wife and had other children. So she's going to take care of them. So she may assume she's entitled to certain things. Hey, I'm not getting paid for this, yet I'm doing this. So she'll take something from the estate, which she technically is not entitled to, and say this is like quid pro quo. But in fact, that's collecting her kesuba to a very small extent, and therefore, asya l'aruye hetera. She'll come to basically give herself a heter. She'll come to say, hey, this is really okay. I'm entitled to this. And therefore, she'll swear that I didn't get anything from the ksuba, from the estate. And in fact, she did. And Rachmana Lutzlan, this could happen to an amana, that she could be punished so severely. The rabbis therefore said, nimnum lashbia, but it's only for an amana, not for a grusha. The grusha is not doing anything. She's not going to be more a heter for herself to say, oh, I'm allowed to take this because she has nothing to do with the estate. She's a divorcee. And therefore, there's no concern that she'll swear falsely. Now, what type of a shua are we talking about? So, I mentioned already yesterday that there's two different types of shuas. There's a shua d'oraisa and the shua d'rabbanan. And we'll see a little bit some of the difference between them now. Amar Yirmiyah bar Abba, Rav Yehuda says the name of Yirmiyah bar Abba, that which we said in our Mishnah, Nishbu Milashbiya, so that's Rav, Ushmul, the Amri Tavayu, Lo Shanu Ela B'Basin. They're talking, according to this first version, that it's only talking about the shua d'oraisa that was done in a basin. That was Nikitas. They did that holding on to an item of mitzvah or sefer Torah, and in that situation, people are very, very, very much going to be recognizing the severity of such a shvuah and the punishment if you break such a shvuah. However, avochutz lebeisdin mashmiyosa, but a shvuah that was done outside a basin, which is midirabanan, and won't carry the same level of severity and consequences. So then, Rav Shmuel both said that this type of shvuah the rabbis did not stop. Nimnu Lashbiyah was only on the shvuah d'oraisa in the basin, but it wasn't on a shvuah that was midirabanan outside of the basin. So that's what Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Barabbas said. More questions is, really, Ini? Did Rav really say that a woman, we said Rav Shmuel d'amar tavayu, did Rav really hold that? But that we know for a fact that Rav specifically said that an almana is not allowed to go collect her ksuba. He didn't distinguish whether it was through a shvua that was done in a basin or shvua that was done outside of the basin. Rav didn't allow the almana to go collect via making a shvua. So how can you tell me that both Rav and Shmuel said it's okay? It's okay if you make a shvua outside of the basin? He says, taka, that's a kasha. It's difficult for us to understand how Rav Yehuda said in the name of Yirmiyah bar Abba that both Rav and Shmuel said this, when we know that Rav did not say that. So the Gemara says, this is the way, this first version that we just read now, Besura Masne Hochi, this is the way they had it, that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Yirmiyah bar Abba that Rav and Shmuel both said that the only time you weren't allowed to make the shvua, Nimnu Milashbiya, was in a basin, but according to Rav Yehuda, that both Rav and Shmuel said, outside of the basin, it's allowed. That's the way they learned it in Surah. However, Ben Ardai, Masnu Hochi, Ben Ardai, they learned it differently. And they had learned the statement that it wasn't Rav Yehuda saying the name of Yirmiyah bar Abba, but it was Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu El Bevesin. The only time that we learned in our mission, Nimnu Milashbia, was only in a basin. Avochutz lebasin, Mashbia also. It was Shmuel who said, Rehuda said the name of Shmuel, that only Shmuel's opinion was that outside the basin it's okay. But Rav, the Rav Amar, Afilu Chutz lebasin, Nami ain't Mashbia also. Rav, consistent with the way we understood Rav before, Lo Magbe Kesubali Amalta. So here, Rav Beferish said, no, we don't allow to collect even with the Shua outside of the basin. And this went, Rav Latameh, the Rav Lo Magbe Kesubali Amalta, as we just said. So Rav, according to the version they learned in Arda, is consistent. There is no kasha on a steer that reviewed is said over in the name of Rav versus what Rav himself said. And therefore, the second version, the way they learned it in Nardai, has no kasha intrinsically on Rav. Not anymore asked, but why doesn't Rav do what Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin is suggested in the Mishnah, instead of making a shvua, make a neder? V'li adra, make her make a neder, and then v'li baye, and then she should be able to go and collect via making the neder. So the Gemara says, because in the time of Rav, Bishnei de Rav, in the time that Rav was living, the years of Rav, Kilei Nidre, then people already were taking Nidarim extremely lightly, and nobody was concerned that they were breaking a Neder. So therefore, it wouldn't accomplish anything. The whole purpose of making the Shvua to collect the Miyisomim was so people wouldn't collect falsely. And when they made a neder, the original intent was, okay, we're concerned about the shvua because of the stories that we said that the woman may take some liberties and have taken a little bit from a ksuba and then swear falsely, and Rahman al-Islam, terrible tragedies will happen, so make a neder. They'll still be very concerned about making a neder falsely and asking themselves, let's say, to eat all the pears of the world if they really did go and get some benefit from the ksuba, so therefore they would be very careful with the darim. But then already in the times of Rav, years later, so people weren't careful with the darim, and therefore Rav said, sorry, even this idea of a neder, not only a shvua is no good, but even a neder is no good. Ma'isa shoyim, how the asoy lekamei de Rav Huna, the once was a woman, an amona, who came in front of Rav Huna, and she wanted to go collect the ksuba from the yisomin. Right, her husband passed away. Now she was thinking maybe of getting married, so she wanted to collect the ksuba and go on with her life. So this is what she told Rav Huna. So Amalah, Rav Huna says back to her, I'm sorry, I cannot collect for you. I am a Talmud of Rav. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, they were major Talmidim of Rav. So more evidlich, I can't do anything to help you because my Rebbe, Rav, the Rav Lumabi Ksuba Liar Malta, Rav did not allow us to go collect the ksuba from the estate of the Yisomim on behalf of the Almona because of the concerns that were mentioned. There's no way to guarantee that she hadn't gotten, in fact, some benefit from the estate that she wasn't entitled to because she can't swear either outside based in and she can't make an end because of the days of Rav, Kili Nidre, people were not taking the Dharma seriously. So she said to him, Amrulay, so midi hutaima elodumo nokitno mide miksubasi. The whole reason behind Rav not allowing someone to go and do this is because there was a concern that they may end up swearing falsely and have really benefited from the estate and now are going to be in trouble. So this lady jumped ahead and said, I swear, Chai Hashem, Tzvakos, she made a shvua to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Nanesi Miksubasi Klum. And she said something, a terrible happened to me, that I swear that I did not go and benefit from the estate of my late husband. So she made the shvua. The whole idea of Rav, the whole idea of Nimnu Mileshbia is we're concerned that if she does swear, she'll swear falsely. But here the woman now swore. So Amar Rav Huna said, oh, in this situation, you're dealing with a kofetzes, a woman who jumped ahead and made the shua, not with our permission, so to say, but she did swear. No, bottom line is, she swore already. So Moda Rav, kofetzes. Rav agrees that if a woman comes and swears on her own, so to say, so then we trust that shua, and we're not concerned at this point in time, because she made the shua already, so therefore we do allow her to go collect from the estate. If she says that I didn't get any benefit from the estate, so then if she was kofetzes, if she jumped and swore, so to say, against our instructions, because we wouldn't have allowed her to swear, so she went and swore. So even Rav would be more than that situation if Huna says that she could go collect. Another Maisa Shoya similar to that, Hai, there once was a woman who also wanted to collect the Ksuba, the Asoy Lekameh, the Rabba Bar Rav Huna. She went to Rav Huna's son, Rabba. So she went to him to go and collect her ksuba. Oh my Lord, so Rav Huna's son, Rabba, said to her, I'm sorry, I cannot go collect your ksuba on your behalf. My Avidlech, I can't do that for you because the Rav Lomad Biksuba Liamauta, because my father's Rebbe, Rav, would not go and allow a woman to go collect the ksuba from the Yisomim, the Amana to go collect the ksuba from the Yisomim. So what can I do? I can't help you. And not only did my father's Rebbe do this, my father Paskin like his Rebbe, Va'amamari, my holy father, Rav Huna, lo mak be'kesuba liyamata. He followed the opinion of his Rebbe. So what can I do for you? I'm sorry. So I'm late. She said, okay, I'm willing to accept that. So at least give me my mizonis then. If I'm not collecting my kesuba, so let the estate support me. Hadli mizoni. So then let me go and collect and continue to collect the support that I'm entitled to, the mazonis that I'm entitled to from the estate. But here, Rabba Bar Rav Huna said to her, I'm sorry, I can't help you there either. Amar la, mizone nami les lich. You no longer are entitled to the mizonos, because Shmuel, the Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel's opinion is, once a woman is tovas ksubasa, hatovas ksubasa, if a woman goes and asks the court to give her a ksuba, Be-based-in, not that she just stopped and said, I think I'm going to do this. She goes to the base and says, I want to go collect my ksuba. So from that moment on, she loses the rights to mizonos, because now she's allowed to go and collect the ksuba. Ain law mizonos. She no longer is entitled to the mizonos. So in this situation, you're the worst of both worlds. You can't collect your ksuba because there's no way to go and make an eder or a shvua to go collect your ksuba, but you're no longer entitled to mizonos at this point in time because you wanted to collect your ksuba. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna was essentially possibly like the worst case scenario for her from both Rav and Shmuel. So Amalei, she's very, very upset at this, because if he had paskin all like Shmuel, so then Shmuel had said that you can go collect with the shua outside of Beis Din, or Shmuel would allow other ways for her to go and collect. So therefore, you're paskin like Shmuel, but not the whole way through. You're paskin in some ways like Shmuel, some like as Rav. I'm getting hurt over here. So she was very, very upset. And Avchua Lekursei. So she basically gave him a curse. That is, your chair should be overturned. What does this mean? Rashi tells us that she was basically saying that you should die. And this is a klala she was giving him because he was unfortunately being very strict and, in her opinion, very wrong. Now, kivei trei avdali, she said, you are judging me in an inappropriate way. You're taking the chumrah of Rav and the chumrah of Shmuel, either passing like Rav the whole way through, and then I should be allowed to go collect the mazonos, or passing like Shmuel the whole way through, and I'd be allowed to go collect my ksuba. But you're passing like the worst of both worlds for me. That's not fair. That's not right. And therefore, she was very upset, and she cursed him. Now, the Talmidim saw all this, and they were very concerned that this curse somehow would come through. So the Talmidim quickly hafachua l'korsei v'tartzua. So the Talmidim, in order to say, okay, the curse took effect, so they turned over his chair, and then they uprighted it. As Rashi says, hafchu kiso, they turned over his chair, so that fulfilled the curse. He meant that he should die. But they turned over the chair, then v'zakfu, then they turned it upright. K'dei shetiskayim haklola b'kach. So the klola would, so to say, be fulfilled. Alternatively, Rashi says, Pirush Acher, Hofchu l'kursaya tishofel gdulaso. The curse wasn't that he should die, but that he should lose his position of authority of power. In any event, they tried to make this, so to say, curse be taking effect, so that it could be in Shemayim, so to say, that the curse is done. We have this idea, one of the reasons that's brought down, interesting idea, why do we go to the Sukkah right after Yom Kippur? Why Sukkah is right after Yom Kippur? So one of the answers that's given, in case there is supposed to be a exile punishment upon a person for sins that he did, so it could be fulfilled, so to say, by going out of your house into the sukkah. With a similar idea that we have, the Gemara tells us, "Ein ksuba b'li ktata." There's always going to be some sort of element of discord at a wedding. It's almost impossible for there ever to be a wedding where there's absolutely no discord whatsoever. Yes, it's Hashem, hopefully it's minor discord and everything gets worked out and nothing is really going to shter the simcha, the shalom bayis. But so one of the suggestions for the minog of throwing candy at an offer is that they throw candy at the chassan. So if they're supposed to be, quote, fighting with the chassan, so you're accomplishing it by throwing the candy at the chassan, and that will be the ksuba with ktata, rather than have something chassushon much more serious. So in any event, that's what the Talmidim tried to do, have her curse, so to say, fulfilled in a very simplistic way, so it shouldn't chassushon be really either lowering him from his gedula, rachmon l'san, the rabbi of Aruna would die. Nevertheless, even though they did this, even so, lo ifrak michulsha, he was in some way punished, and her curse did take effect in some way, as Rashi brings down, lo nitzol milavo lidecholi, he did get sick. And Shitaka had a certain accuracy to her claim that he was holding like Rebbe, that you're not allowed to go get ksuba, but he then was holding like Shmuel, that she lost him his onus rights. So that seems to be incorrect. So in some way, he was held accountable and punished. Now we have another story. Amalei Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiyah Bira. Rav Yehuda said to Rav Yirmiyah Bira, Adra Beveisin, if an almana comes to the basin, so what you have to do is either make a neder in the basin, she wants to collect her ksuba from the Yisomim, so you do a neder and not a shvu in the basin, or alternatively, the ashba chutz lebasin, or go and make a shvu outside a basin like Shmuel had held. So either one of those two is an option for this widow, the almana, to go and collect the ksuba. And he told them, Rav Yehuda said to Rav Yirmiyahu Bira, when this happens, the Leisei Kala, make sure that you publicize this, that we pass it like Shmuel and not like Rav, the Lipo Biyodai, that I should go and hear it. The people who are buzzing and talking about, oh, this psak that you gave out, so people should see, the Bo'ino Ki Hechi De Avid Ba Maisa. So people should see this Halach LaMaisa. So when this case comes to you, paskin it in this way, make a big public commotion about this, so people should know that we paskin over here like Shmuel and not like Rav. As Rashi says, the Bina and the Evid, the Ovid bought Maisa Kishmuel, that the Tzak Halacha should be carried out, an actual case, when it's carried out, that carries a lot of weight in terms of determining the Halacha. So, Paskin over here, Kishmuel, Lahotzi Miliban Shel Tamidav Shel Rav, Kigo Rafuna, Ubezdino, Shloyu Magavim Kisubo Salmana, in order to take away this idea that the Tamidim of Rafuna and Rafuna himself had had, that you're not allowed to go and collect the Ksuba, not with a nether, not with a shua in the basin, and not even with a shua outside of basin. So that's what Rav Yehuda wanted to establish the halacha over here like Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was a star pupil of Rav, but after Rav passed away, he learned by Shmuel. So we often find throughout Shas, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So he, so to say, was in both Bati Midrashos, and he took the psak that he thought was most appropriate from each of his rabbi. Okay, now let's go back and discuss this gufa. Amar Bizer Amar Shmuel, we brought that name of Zera in the name of Shmuel, Lo Shonu El Amana. This specifically, this Nimnu Milashbia, was specifically for an Amana, because of the concern that the Amana would go and take something which she wasn't entitled to and not think much of it and say, therefore swear falsely, that she in fact did not get any Hanoah from the estate. Aval Grusha, where this concern doesn't apply, Mashbia Nosa. Rav Zera said, Amar Shmuel, there is no concern with the Grusha making a regular Shvua in the Beis Din. Gemara really questions this and says, really, Ugrusha, the Adra lo, we don't make a Grusha make a neder, we allow the Grusha to go and make a Shua, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Vashalchu mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, we said many times, this is often Rabbi Elazar. So they brought down this psak from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Ech plonisa bas ploni, kabilas gita minyoda di acha bar hedya. The miskare ayamari, that there was a case there where this certain woman, she was known as the Plonisa, this woman whose name was whatever it was, Plonisa, Bas Ploni, the daughter of so-and-so. So this woman, the daughter of so-and-so, she received her get from her husband, whose name was Achar Bar Hijo. He also had another name, as we learned yesterday, Shirf. There's two names. You have to call him by his other name as well. The Miskarya Ayamari, who also had another name, Ayamari. The Nodras, the Osras Peru Sheba Olam Allah. And in order to go collect her Ksuba, a grusha, they didn't make her swear, they made her make a neder, she made this neder to asser all the parents of the world upon her, the asser's parents of all my law, if she got hanor from the ksuba other than the following specific things, which she admitted that she got hanor from the ksuba, so they deducted that from the 200, let's say she's supposed to get, so she got a certain level hanor, so she admitted that, so she wasn't going to ask to get collected again on that, but she wanted the rest of the ksuba. And she said, all the parents of the world should be also to me. She made a neder, not a shvua. That's the question that we're asking. You tell me a grusha doesn't make a neder? Grusha did make a neder in this situation. And what was the neder? She said, all the parents of the world should be also to me if I got hanah from the estate, other than the following. The lo kabilas miksubasa ella, I did get, she was admitting to that, glufkara echad. Rashi tells us that glufkara is kota, a coat, a certain type of a cloak. The Sefer Tehillim Echot, she got a Sefer Tehillim. The Sefer Eo, she got a Sefer Eo. Omem Shalosh, she got a Mishlei. And they're all worn out Beluim. So they were worth less money than if they were brand new. In those days, Svarim were expensive because they were all handwritten. They didn't have printing press yet. And therefore, things were very expensive. New, whatever these worn out Tehillim, Eo, and Mishlei were worth. So she admitted that she got that from the estate. She admitted she got the certain coat, this Glufkara from the estate. And we turn to Lamed Hei Omid Beis. The Shamnum, they evaluated them in the court. B'chamishim, b'chamisha mona. All of these things were worth 5 mona. So when she goes to collect her ksuba, she's only entitled to 200 minus 5. L'chshetobo li'edchem, when she comes to collect the remainder, the 195 left for her ksuba, so hagbua etzashar. So we, the basin is saying that she's entitled to go collect the rest. So when she goes to collect, the husband Mustama lived in their shtut in Bavel, so she'll be able to go collect it. So here's the question. You see that she made an eder and not a shvua. So Ravashi says, no, that was different. How geit yavmin hava? That was a gate from a Yavama. What happened? So Rashi explains over here in gate Yavam Haya. So Yavama Haya Zeh Shenosan Lo Get Liposlo Al Ho Achen. What happened here was that her husband passed away. So let's say her husband was Reuven, and Reuven had two brothers, Shimon and Levi, and Shimon gave a get to her. Now, Shimon either has to do Yibam, or Levi could do Yibam, or they have to do Chalitza. But instead, one of them gave a get. So Shimon gave a get. Now, that doesn't absolve her from that marriage. You need to get out of that marriage with Chalitza, but no longer can you do Yibam. So now, when he gave her this get, so in this situation, she really wasn't bringing this get to collect as a get. She was saying, this get possibly from Yibam, and in fact, I underwent chalitza, and therefore, I'm now collecting the original ksuba that I'm entitled to for my dead husband. I'm collecting that as an almana, and not as a get, as a divorcee. And therefore, yes, they made for an almana to do a neder, and not for a grusha, because this case was a case of an almana, really, and not a grusha. Tosos get Yad Min Hava has a little different explanation. He brings the Rashi Kuntres. Pirish Kuntres Shinos and Leget Leposla Ala Achen Uksubasa Al Nichse Bala Risha. So as we explained, it really was collecting it as an Amana and not as a Grusha. But Tosos doesn't like this. Kasha the Law Yolhem Lahaskir get the Lo Nitlo Ksuba Ligavos Ache Tachlots. She wasn't collecting based upon that get. That get just possibled her from having Yibam. She was collecting based upon her Ksuba, based upon the fact that she was an Amana. So what does Gemara bring down? She obviously got Chalitza, and now she's going to go and collect as an Amana. So, V'hoyolem lichtov shecholtza. It should have said that she was undergoing Chalitza, she underwent Chalitza, and now she's collecting as an Amana, if that was the case. But that's not what it said. It said, get Yadbin. So therefore, Tosu says, Yomari, the Re tells us, get Yadbin hava. What it really was a real get from her Yavama. The la'achar shenis yadma, the brother Shimon did yibam with her, and now he's fully married to her. But then girsha hayavim. Then subsequently Shimon divorced her. Now that's a get yadmin. However, the law is that the ksuba is totally from the first husband's estate. Uksubasa al nichse bal harishon. And therefore, in this situation, it says if she's coming as an almana. So she might, in this situation, come and say, listen, I married my dead husband's brother, and I helped out with the family, and etc. And she's going to be more heted to herself to have taken a little bit from the original state of her dead husband that she wasn't entitled to. So that's why, in this situation, even though she's coming with a get now, but she's really coming like an almana, and therefore they were concerned that she would swear falsely, and therefore they made it make a neder rather than a shvuah. But under normal circumstances, everybody agrees that a regular, straightforward gerusha can make a shvuah and go and not have to make a neder. Not make a neder, just make the shvuah. Then we quote the Mishnah, Hiskin, Rav Gamliel, Azakin, Shein, No, there is a chule. Along comes Rav Gamliel, and he says, but we have to make sure that the almana can go collect in some way, so he was masaking the idea of this neder. Now, Omer Ravuna, Ravuna says, Lo Shanu Ella Bishalo Nises, that allowance for her to make an edit, it's only if she's not married. If she's already married, avonises ein madirinosa. If she's married, we don't let her make an edit because guess what? Her husband will be made for the nether, so the nether's worthless in that situation, and therefore, it's only if she's not married do we allow her to make the nether. So Gemara says, why? Nises, my time, but why do we not let her make an edit if she's married? Because the made for labal, her husband will go be made for the nether. But, wait a second, even if she's not yet married at the time she makes an edit, nises, she's not yet married, but Nami, we shouldn't allow her to go and make an eder because L'chi Minseva, when she does go get married, the new husband will be made for Loa Baal, will be going made for her Nidarim. So how does it help us to allow her to make an eder? When she subsequently gets married, she will go and have her husband made for it. So the Gemara gives the obvious answer that many of you are probably thinking, because we learned this already in the Gemara Nidarim, ain't a Baal made for a Bikobin. No, the Baal can only be made for Nidarim, Mikan Ulaba, any Nidarim she makes while she's married to him. He doesn't have the right to be made for Nidarim from before the marriage, and therefore this neder was made before the marriage, and therefore he can't be made for it. Rashi says, but still, so even if the husband can't be made for the neder, a Talmid Chacham could be matir the neder. V'nechosh Dilma Ozla Legabe Chacham V'sharila. You know what? She's going to go to the local Rav, and she's going to say, please be matir this neder, and he'll say, mutalach, 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 right? She'll do Ataris Nidarim, and she'll undo this neder. And we're back to step one. There's a concern that maybe she'll have taken something from the estate and been more hetter to herself, and this nether was supposed to stop that, but the nether will be moved for her, and therefore there's nothing stopping that. Gemara says no, because Rav Huna said over here that's not a concern, because he holds Kusavar. He holds Sarich Lefareid as an Eder. When she goes to the Tavachach, if he mati Neder, Tavachach is going to ask her all the specifics, all the details, and he's going to hear that she made this Neder in order that her Ksuba shouldn't be in any way questioned, that she's allowed to go collect it, so he won't be mati the Neder, and therefore the Neder will stay in effect. But that's only according to Rav Huna. Rav Nachman says no. Rav Nachman says that no, even if she got married and then made the Neder, it's not a problem. The husband's going to be made for the nether. Nisus vade made for Labal. The husband will definitely be made for the nether. So how can you say Rav Nachman's not a concern? So Rav Nachman says, because the Madrinon law birabim, she made this nether birabim. And Rav Nachman holds that a nether that's made birabim cannot be moved for by the husband. It cannot be moved for by a Talmud Chacham. Once it's made publicly, so then you're not allowed to go back. There are discussions elsewhere that that's not true, but right now we'll leave the girsa that we have this, that he holds that if it's a neder made in public, so then you're not allowed to be made for it, you're not allowed to be matir it, and therefore there is no such concern. So the Gemara says, wait a second, let's go back on Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that if she was married, nisus, then govek subasa im nodra. This seems to go exactly like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that even if she's married, she's allowed to go and make the neder. Rav Huna said, no, if she's married, you're not allowed to make the neder. But here, the Braisa seems to say that even though she's married, nisus, nevertheless, govek subasa im nidra. If she made a neder, she can collect it. Now, isn't this talking about when they're married? My love, Nodra hashta, when she's married, and kasha on Rav Huna, and this seems to support Rav Nachman. So Rav says, lo. Rav Huna would learn this price, lo, the Nodra made kar. This was, she made the neder before she was married. The Tanya, but we have another price that says, Beferish, that Nisa, she got married, nevertheless, no deres, we go vok subasa. Here, this definitely seems to go against what Rav Huna said, and holds like Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, how could he possibly then go against the Braisa? He's an Amora. How could he go against his Beferish Braisa? So the Gemara answers, no, this is in fact Emachlokes Tanoim. Yes, Tanoihi, this Braisa, argues with Rav Huna, but Rav Huna has a brisa that agrees with him. As Rashi points out in Dibur Masal Tanoihi, Lekamen, on Daf, Memhei, Omid Beis. Later on in this perek, Lekamen, Pligi, Bo, Bepirkin, Ikal, Mandiyama, Yeshla, Afar, Yaliba, Logavya, Mishum, Demei, for law. Yes, there is another Mandiyama that holds exactly the Rav Huna. It says, we do have to be concerned that if she makes the neder, once she's married, the husband will be made for it. Because, as the Gemara now says, the Ikalman the Omar, neder shuda b'rabim yesh lafora, the Ikalman the Omar, ain't lafora. Because we'll see that there are different opinions over here. There is an opinion that says a neder that's made in the rabim still can nevertheless be mufar. And there's an opinion that says it can't be made for. So therefore, there are different opinions over here, and Rav Huna holds like the Tana that says that even a neder that's made in the rabim, in the public, can be move her by her husband, and therefore the husband, if she's married, so then she can't make an neder. So Rav Huna goes like that Tana, whereas Rav Nachman holds like this Tana, the Braisa that we just brought down. They asked the base manager the following shayla, Yibolu, they asked the following shayla, Tzorich Lefarit, it's a neder, or ain't no Tzorich Lefarit, it's a neder. When you go to the Talmud Chacham and to ask to be Mati Neder, so do you have to specify, spell out all the details of the neder in order for the Talmud Chacham to be matrit? Or the Talmud Chacham just has to hear to say that she has charata and she doesn't want to have this neder, and that's enough, and he can be matrit the neder just on that. So Rav Nachman or Eino Tzorach, Rav Nachman holds, you don't have to specify it, whereas Rav Papa says that you do have to specify all the details. Now, what's the understanding over here between Rav Nachman and Rav Papa? Rav Nachman, Amar Einot Tzarech, Rav Nachman says that the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to hear all the details. You know why? Because if you said that he has to hear all the details, the Amis Tzarech to hear all the details, Lafarit, Es HaNeder, so you know what's going to happen? Zimnin, sometimes the guy is le'dibure. Sometimes he's not going to hear all the details, so cut her off short and say, okay, that's enough, I heard enough. Yes, mutulach, 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 or something similar to that, and she's not going to say all the words. The Eino Mefarish Hakol, Rashi says, she's not going to specify all the particulars. And the Chacham, my deshama meifer, so he's only able to be made for what he heard. And therefore, he may not hear the whole story. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, better not hear anything. Because if you don't hear the whole story, there's a chance of takala. But if we say you don't have to hear any of the story, so then, whatever the story is, he's matir. Whereas Rav Papa says, Omar, Rav Papa, Omar Tzarech, Mishum Milsa de Isura. Rav Papa says, exactly for this reason, we're concerned that there's a Milsa de Isura over here. As Rashi brings down the Ramasul Mishum Isura, Shema al Duvar Isur Nodra. Maybe exactly this type of a case that she was Nodra on something that's Osir. Kagon al Gibui Ksuba. Like saying that she's collecting Ksuba. So she said, all the parents of the world would be awesome to me if I collected something from Ksuba. So the Chachma's matter it, she really did collect something from Ksuba. Ugon Yosra, like call Perishim Olam in Evar. Avera ploni, if I do such and such a thing. So Bolahatiris Nidro Stam Virotsalav or Avera. She wants to do this Avera or something similar to this. So it's like Arkseka's Ksuba, that if you don't specify all the details, the Tamachokim will be mati this nender and she will end up doing something incorrect. So therefore Rapapa says you must specify all the details. More questions, Rav Nachman, that says you don't have to specify all the details. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Bechoros. It says over there, Hanose Noshim Beavera. Apostle, Kohen, who Rachman al-Islam goes and marries a woman who is not allowed to go and marry, as Rashi tells us over here, Dibu Matzal Nosi Noshim, Kohen Hanosi Noshim Sulas Likuhuna, Apostle Yavoda. So the Kohen marries a Grusha. Kohen marries a woman who's apostle to, he's not allowed to marry her. She's Nivel al-Apostle, so she's ushered to go marry a Kohen. And he married her anyway. So he doesn't become a Chalal. It's a very interesting thing. The wife of the Kohen can become a Chalala by such a marriage, but the children from that will become halalim, but the husband himself, the Kohen, he doesn't become a halal, but he's not allowed to do the avoda at sheyidor hanoah, until he asks himself to get any hanoah from this wife. In other words, he won't get tashmish from her, he won't get any benefit from her, and therefore he'll have to divorce her. He can't live in the same house with her if he's not allowed to get any benefit from her, and therefore this will force him to divorce her. So as soon as he makes this neder, the Braisa tells us, the Tani Allah, no, there, he makes such a neder, and even though he hasn't yet given her a get, he can go right back up to the Mizbeach and do the avoda. No, there, he makes the neder, and he asks himself to get an off from her, and the Oved. And Yored Umagarish. He goes up and does the Avoda, then he comes down, he does the Avoda, the Oved, Yored, he comes down, Umagarish, and then he gives it a get. So as long as he makes the Neder, so he's already allowed to go do the Avoda. Now, why is this a kasha of Nachman? If, Rav Nachman, you say that you don't have to go tell the Talmud Chacham what was the story behind the Neder, that you want to have Ataras Nedarim, so then, in this situation, why aren't we concerned? Yeah, he says, oh, I'm not going to get an offer from my wife. He goes back up and does the Avoda. He's really happy. He's a Kohen again. And as soon as he comes down, instead of being Megarish's wife, he goes to the Talmud Chacham and he says, I made a Neder and I'd like you to be Matir and the Talmud Chacham. If he doesn't have to specify what the Dinim was, according to Rav Nachman, the Talmud Chacham will say, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Lechosh, why aren't we concerned? He's just going to go straight to the Talmud Chacham and be matir this neder. And back when we were step one, that he's married to a woman he's not allowed to, and yet he's doing the avoda. So we turn to Lamed Vav Omud Aleph, because the Madrinon Le'Birab. Oh, Rav Nachman says that we'll make this in public, and a Talmud Chacham can't be matir neder this in public. So again, I alluded to this before. Here we see it inside now. This is a machlokes. If a neder is made in public, are you allowed to be matirid or not? So according to one opinion, it says you're not allowed to be matirid. Oh, so Rav Nachman works out very well with that opinion. But what about the other opinion? What would Rav Nachman say according to the opinion? It says you are allowed to be matir neder that's made in public. So if you don't have to be spelling it out, if you don't have to be mafarid it, even though it was made in public, so he's going to be matir it, and we're back to step one. So Gemara answers, no, the madrinon lay al das rabbim. There's a difference between doing something publicly and doing it with the das of the rabbim, that you're saying that this is contingent upon the public agreeing to this. The Amar Meimar, Meimar said, and this is the halacha hilchasa. Afilu l'man diomar neder shuda b'rabim yesh lafar. Even according to this opinion, this man diomar, it says that if you make a neder in public, that you can be matirit, but that's only if it's made in public. If you make it al das rabim, but if you made it with the contingency that the public agrees to it, so then you cannot go. It's impossible to go to every single person in the public and be matir the neder, matir the neder, matir the neder, based upon his reasoning, and therefore ein lo afar. Bottom line is, a neder that's made al das rabim, then even that man the yomim that says if it's made birabim, it could have hafara, hatara, but if it's made al das rabim, it can't. So Gemara says, but that only is true of ani mila dvar rishus. That's only when it's something that you could do or cannot do. Avol dvar mitzvah. If you made an eder that goes against the mitzvah, yesh lo hafara, then there is hafara, even if it was made al das rabim. Because you're wanting to do the mitzvah, and therefore everybody, we can make a presumption that the rabbi would be happy that now you want to do the mitzvah. And therefore, while normally we can't speak for the rabbi, al-das rabbi means you'd have to know for certain that every single person would want this, but here, by a mitzvah, we can assume that every single person would want you to do the mitzvah, and therefore you could be matir and neder that was made al-das rabbi if it went against a mitzvah. And Maisa Shahaya, that this exactly happened. A very interesting case. Kihau Makri Dardiki, the once was a kindergarten teacher, a Rebbe teaching Aleph Beis to the children. Makri Dardiki was teaching the little children how to learn to read Chumash. The Adre Rav Acha made him into a neder that Aldat's Rabbin, based upon the public, that this person could not be a teacher anymore because Davi Pasha Abiyanuke, because he would hit the children too much. He was, as Rashi says, Chovton Yoser Midai. He was too harsh on them, and he punished them too severely. And therefore, Rav Acha came along and said, this is the public idea, Aldat's Rabbin, we all are in agreement with this, that this kindergarten teacher, this first grade Rebbe, can no longer be a Rebbe. They made a neder that he couldn't be a Rebbe anymore. Now, this was Aldas Rabbim. Now, therefore, it should be that he should be able to come back and never be a teacher. However, eventually, Ravina came along and restored him to his position as the first grade Rebbe. The Adre Ravina to be the Makri Dardiki in that town. He let him be the one to teach the little children Chumash Aleph Beis because he was such a good Rebbe. The Lo Ishtakach D'Dayek Kavose, because while he was a little bit too harsh, and we'll talk about that in a second, he was too harsh on the children, but nevertheless, he was the best Rebbe around by far. And therefore, this was Al Mitzvah, the Dvar Mitzvah. And therefore, even though it was Al Das Rabbim, Ravina revoked this neder. He was mad to this neder because even though it was Aldas Rabbim, one could assume that everybody in the Rabbim would want this Rebbe to go back and be the teacher because there was nobody else as good as he was. Now, he was obviously too harsh on the children. The Rav Acha went along, and we're not going to talk here about corporal punishment today because we don't do corporal punishment today. We are in a different generation. Rav Volbi Zatzal, the great Mechanech par excellence, said that nowadays, the children need love. They can't be taught in the same way that they were taught years ago. You know, when we were children, people of my age, so the Rebbe still would hit the children. Now today, that would be absolutely verboten. That would be something that you absolutely cannot do. It would be a terrible, terrible thing for a Rebbe to hit a child today. And at the same time, at one point, it was acceptable under certain circumstances, done properly. It may have been acceptable. I'm not going to discuss that, whether it was or shouldn't have been, but that's the way it certainly was. And nowadays, that would not be acceptable. But in this story in the Gemara, this Rebbe was too harsh on the children. They removed him from his position, but then they saw that really he was a fantastic Rebbe, and they restored him to the position. The key point from our discussion is this was a neder that was made al das rabbim, but it was l'dvar mitzvah. So even a neder made al das rabbim, mitzvah dvar mitzvah, has the ability to be matired. With this, we conclude today's share.